mais vous en nouvelle monde.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each everyone tonight. Let's come out. We should still be around here tonight preaching. I really enjoyed the meetings, and I'm sure everyone else did. And it was such a blessing, the different messages that Brother Brian brought. And we really enjoyed it. Praise God. And I want to thank Brother John for being able to take Brian round. So much I was really tied up with the way things were happening. But enjoyed the meetings. And we just thank the Lord for what the Lord's doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. This machine stuck her own mind tonight, but that's not matter. Let's read. I want to read one verse from Psalms 81 tonight, and I won't try and hold these too long tonight. Psalms 81, just to verse 10. And I might have mentioned from this before. It's just a phrase I want to take from this scripture tonight. Psalms 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I want to take that, just that wee phrase tonight, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Let's just bow our heads again this evening. If you have a prayer request, just lift your hand up before the Lord tonight, and we'll remember you in prayer. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you that we have access through Jesus Christ the righteous into your very throne room and into your very presence. And we come tonight pleading the precious merits of the blood of the Lamb of God. We pray you'll cover us in your blood and wash us in your blood and cleanse us with the washing of your word tonight. Bind every devil and every foul spirit. We cast down all reasoning, all vain imagination, everything that assaults us self against the knowledge of the truth, we cast down in Jesus' name. We pray, let the mind of Jesus Christ be in each one of us tonight. Grant us your help, Lord Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit move amongst us tonight. I do take the Holy Ghost by faith to help me, Lord, and I thank you that you do undertake for me. Pray, Lord, for the hands that's raised in this room. You know every need. You know the secret prayers. You know the hearts. And I pray you'll meet every need in Jesus' precious name and answer prayer. Bless our brother Brian tonight, Sister Deborah. Lord, as they've got home safely, bless them, strengthen them. Add back to brother Brian the virtue that's gone from him, preaching your word. And just bless him, Lord, and make him a blessing in Jesus' precious name. And Father, just help us tonight with your word in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, I pray for those that maybe couldn't be here, for the mothers, for the wives, the husbands, the daughters. Lord, I pray especially for the widows tonight. You'll bless them and strengthen them in Jesus Christ's name. I pray for a young man, Beatty, tonight. Lord, it's fallen off a motorbike. I pray you'll touch him, Lord. I pray you'll spare his life in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, for the request that our sister up the day, Lord, that you'll just grant this miracle this little one needs in Jesus' precious name, that all will be well, Lord, as we commit all these things to thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Praise God. A young man, I know him well. I heard it. I don't know if he's come off a bike. He's not racing bikes, but he was a dial man. I think he came off his own bike going there or something. But I heard he's in a coma. It's not too well. His dad sells pigeon corn. Cyril Beatty, I don't know. You would know Cyril Beatty, Gary. Sells a pigeon corn. His son, Jeffrey. Real nice fella he is. And young man, so we're just praying the Lord will touch and praise God. Hear the Lord reminding the children of Israel tonight. And when you pre-phrase this, Israel had a plea for God's mercy here, but they kept disobeying God. God, time and time again, showed them his power. He showed them his glory. And he sent them everything, every single thing he sent them, but they kept disobeying him. And God reminded them again, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He's taking them back and he's reminding them. And the word of God tells us we are to tell our children's children the things the Lord's done. We are to keep in mind the things God has done. In the days of George Jeffreys and Wigglesworth and William Branham, all the great moves of God there's been, we're to talk about it. And we are to tell our children and our children's children because he's still the same. The Lord's still the same. And he's telling them here to quit complaining and to open their mouth wide and he'll fill it. And so many times we say, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. But God's saying, if we'll open our mouth, God will fill it and put the words in it. He says, don't even meditate on what you'll say, for it shall be given to you on that hour what you're going to say. And that's the God we serve when sometimes we don't know what to pray. But as soon as we start, the Lord gives us what to pray and what to preach sometimes as well. You know, we could have it all figured out. It mightn't be just the way you figured it out. But God can give you something you never figured out. And it can be a blessing. And that's how the Lord works. Many Christians today, you know, they're full on belief. They're full on belief. And why so many Christians today are full on belief? Because of what they've been taught. Many are taught today that the days of miracles are past, that the apostolic age is past, that it ceased with the apostles, the gifts of spirits past, and even in end time message churches, believe it or not, many times it's preached that this Holy Spirit, tongues is on the shelf, and the gifts is on the shelf, and we no longer need them. But I believe the word of God, that we are promised a restoration of all things in the last days. That's the reason, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come. And Matthew 17, 11 says, Elias shall first come and restore all things. Now we know John the Baptist didn't restore all things, because how could he restore all things? He couldn't do it. But there was a future coming of the spirit of Elijah that would bring a restoration. And that restoration, if it's restored it, it originally was there. Amen. What do you get that now? Restoring something's not remaking it. To restore it is to preserve it, to bring it back to its original condition. Like a vintage tractor, whatever vintage tractor you have, and if you're a tractor enthusiast, the mossy wheels won't work on the Ford, because you have someone on that Ford that's not a Ford part. And if you're a real Ford man, it'd have to be the Ford. Is that right? Everything has to be on it, what it originally came with. And if you put the mirrors of the Massey on the Ford, it might be all right. But that's not the way it came out of the factory. And God began at the day of Pentecost. That was the inauguration of the true church of God, where the Holy Ghost fell and the church began. And the way the church began, a prophet of God in the 20th century said, the revelation the church started on shall end on the same revelation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the way she has to end. And it's like Brother Brian said, about you want to be the full percent. I must have to strive to be it. Maybe we're maybe not at it, but we want to be it. And if we want to be it, we have to preach all of it. We can't leave out some of it and then say we are it. And we want a fellowship with like-minded people. Amen. My grandmother used to have an old saying, birds of a feather flock together. All the old people did. And then they used to talk about running with a hare and hunting with a hound. So many sort of them sayings. Well, them's true sayings. And if you fly with the crows, you'll be shot at. And we need a fellowship with people like-minded. Amen. And if we're Pentecostal, we want Pentecostal fellowship, Holy Ghost fellowship. We want to have people around us that believe in healing, that believe in the gifts of Spirit, that believe in the power of God. And God's telling these children of Israel, open your mouth now, fill it. And he's reminding them, look how I brought you out. How did he bring them out? He brought them out and there wasn't a feeble one amongst them. What way did he keep them? The soles of their feet never wasted for over 40 years. And the clothes and the body never wasted for 40 years. And he fed them fresh manna every day. And when they thirsted for water, and there was no water, water came out of the rock when Moses struck that rock. And water came out of it. And Paul the Apostle in the New Testament said, that rock was Christ. on that fresh living water. And we can have fresh living water every day. We can't just live on the manna from yesterday, but God give them fresh manna every single day. God give them it fresh. And God wants us to have it fresh. God wants us to have a desire for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for the power of God in our own lives. So often we talk about, I'll tell you what she needs. I'll tell you what he needs. No, but what about what I need? Now that's for you as well as me. I'm not just talking about myself, but you need to say it to yourself. And I'm saying it to myself, I need the power of God. I need the gifts of God. That's the way we need to look at it. And we need to pray one for another for that. Praise God. So many, they find it difficult to believe today what God can do, the things he did in the days of the Bible. But God can do the things today that he did in the days of the Bible. And we hear that so much of the day. Miracles is past. The Bible doesn't teach miracles is past. But men are teaching miracles is past. But the Bible's not teaching that miracles is past. Malachi 3, verse 6. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever the Lord did yesterday, he can still do it today. Well, he opened blinded eyes yesterday, he can do it today. He opened the deaf ear yesterday, he can do it today. He healed the lame yesterday, he can do it today. God can do anything. Whatever God did yesterday, God can do today. You know, Morsella was preaching. I'm not sure it might have been in England. And some of you other brothers might know the better details than me, but I remember hearing the testimony. He was preaching, I think it was in England, and he prayed for a man that didn't have a kidney. He had lost a kidney, and God gave him a kidney, and the kidney grew in him. And when he went and checked it out, and he grew back a kidney where he didn't have a kidney, and the DVD of that service was played somewhere in a man's home, and the man in the home didn't have a kidney. And while he watched the DVD, and someone struck him and he believed it, and he grew a kidney as well. Now that was Morsella, but I'm going to tell you, I preached myself in Stourbridge, England, and I preached and God delivered a man sitting in the meeting and he needed deliverance. And I'm not going to go into all the detail of it, but there was demons involved, and there's a DVD. I preached on them, that 10 impossibilities of the blood of Christ perished. It went the whole way to South Africa, and there's a group of people who used to go to a big church. The pastor's gone on now. You know who I'm talking about. Used to look up when he's preaching. You should know who I'm talking about. He preached about behold the man. But he spent a whole service preaching about the wrong man, in my opinion. Now you maybe know who I'm talking about without my telling it all out. There's only one man you can preach about behold the man. That's Jesus, in my opinion. But that's not important. These people went to his church, but they're away from his church, and they had lots of problems and everything. And that DVD was played in the living room, and the power of God came in the room, and God moved on every single one of them in the room. And that was preached in Stourbridge, England, and John Noble's church. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's like a brother Brian said, it's not down to some certain man, it's the power of God. It's God that does it. It's God that sends revival. It's God that decides what he's going to do. But he wants us to have faith. Hebrews tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he'll reward you when you have faith. He's a rewarder of those that tells you to seek him. You know, I was going to Brother Geordie's house. Geordie mightn't even know this. But I was going to Brother Geordie's house many years ago. I was only a young fella. And I used to take Geordie a couple of wee things up, food and stuff on a bag, and Geordie remembers that. And I didn't even have a car or anything. My dad was taking me up, and I was praying a lot, and the Lord gave me that scripture. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. Not only is God a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, he's a very present help in the time of trouble. He's on the scene. Many times we think the Lord hasn't answered and the devil wants us to believe that, but God always answers. Amen. You say, well, I prayed, he always answers. Now, he might not answer the way you think or I think, but he still answers. And he knows the end from the beginning and he knows what's best for us. And the Bible can't tell a lie. And it says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Everything's for a reason and everything's for a purpose in the Word of God. Now, we believe in miracles, and we know the greatest miracle is a new birth. How many agrees with that tonight? That's the greatest miracle. You know, I could break my leg, and you brothers could pray for me, and the Lord would heal me, and that I'd appreciate that, and that'd be wonderful. But if I wasn't saved, it still wouldn't take me to heaven. But the greatest miracles, a man and a woman getting saved, that's the greatest thing. Salvation of the soul is the greatest miracle. We believe that tonight with all of our hearts. Every soul saved will be involved in a future bodily miracle, because the Lord's going to change these vile bodies. The Bible says that. With the fashioned like unto his own glorious body, this corruptible is going to put on incorruption, and this mortal is going to put on immortality. Read it in Corinthians. Praise God. We're going to have a body change. But the greatest miracle, salvation of the soul, will you receive eternal life and you're never going to die. You know, so many people put an overemphasis in dispensationalism and some, you know, encouragement from the Scofield Bible. And the Scofield Bible is a good Bible, but you have to remember, and I love the brethren, you know that, but I don't agree with all what they believe. And the Scofield Bible is the brethren Bible, really. And there's a lot of things in there that we don't believe for the day. And Clarence Larkin's the same. Clarence Larkin was way ahead of his time on dispensationalism. But Clarence Larkin and many of them believe that the Jews will receive a different gospel from what we're going to believe. You might say, Brother Tom, what's that got to do with us tonight? It's got everything to do with it, because it's not right. They believe they're going to receive a different gospel. The point I'm making is there is only one gospel. That's the point I'm making. There's only one gospel, and they cannot receive a different gospel from the one we receive. And when you listen a lot of preaching today around different groups that are revelated, they say they're revelated, and they say they're revelated people, but they preach the born-again experience. You need a degree to know what they're talking about. But you didn't need a degree when Jesus was talking. You didn't need a degree when Peter or Paul was talking. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 2:38, you don't need no degree. You believe in the Lord, repent of your sins, get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That doesn't need a degree. It just needs action to believe it. Action. And God wants us action. He wants us to open our mouth and start talking. And God's going to fill it. Too often, you know, in workplaces and different places, and people joke and talk rubbish, and we are so backward, you know, that we're afraid to talk for the Lord. But we need to have some boldness. We need a real dose of boldness, that when we get the opportunity, we witness for the Lord. How many believes that tonight? You know, people are taught that the wonderful answers to prayer and dealing of God and the physical matters are not to be expected anymore. That's what they're taught. Don't expect that. That was Bible times. We're in a different dispensation. Don't expect that no more. I tell you, if you're not expecting that, you're an unbeliever. That's the simple of it. There's no point going to pray for somebody if you don't expect God to do something. Now, we have to expect God to do it. No matter what it looks like or seems like, we have to expect God to do it. Why would we pray for somebody to be saved if we don't expect them to get saved? There would be no point praying for them to get saved. But we pray for them to get saved. And when we pray for children here every week, we're praying, we're believing it. We're wanting God to save them. We're wanting God to deliver them. We're expecting it. And you were praying for it one time, and I was praying for it one time. And God saved you, and God saved me, and God's going to save them. And that's how you have to look at it. You just have to look at it that it's going to happen. Amen. Many don't expect revival of any kind. They don't expect it. Well, we're not expecting it. No, well, they're not going to get it if they're not expecting it. God wants us to expect the unexpected. Did you ever hear that? Expect the unexpected. Amen. If you needed a financial miracle, you wouldn't be expecting anything in your letterbox tonight. But if you'd got faith, you'd keep looking at the box. And one of the times you'd open it, the money would be in it. Because he says, ask what you will. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you can have them. God can do it. David said, I was young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. God can do it. But we need to be under expectation. You say, would God give me money? Why would he not? If you need it, God can give you. God can give you a car. God can give you anything. Anything. He owns a cattle on a thousand hill and all the silver and gold's him. He's able to do it. I can tell you that right now. But you need to be expecting. Amen. Open your mouth wide and God will fill it. Expect it. Pray. Open your mouth to pray. You can't. You know, I know there's quiet praying, but and God can hear that. God can hear the quiet praying. How do I know that? Because Hannah was just whispering, mumbling. And that priest thought she was drunk because the way she's mumbling. And then when the whole thing was revealed, she's praying for her son. And then he prayed for her. And God gave her Samuel. And she gave him back to the Lord. And when he came of age, he went down into the temple with a priest to do the Lord's work. And he heard somebody calling him one night. And the old priest said to him, if you hear it again, answer back to us. Isn't that right? And you know there was the Lord calling Samuel. And it said that there's not one word of Samuel fell to the ground. And it also says the word of God in them days was precious. And the word of God's precious today. It's very precious today. Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should be room enough in my house. God wants us to open our mouth wide in prayer and preaching. God wants us to tell the whole world that Jesus Christ is unchanged. He wants us to do it. Amen. You know, there's a fella, I've seen a thing recently, for there's a fella said he didn't believe in tithing. It's not in the New Testament. And another fella said, well, it mightn't be, but people in the New Testament still give. And he took a word, you know, for God loves a cheerful giver. But he took that back into the Greek or Hebrew, and it was more or less that cheerfully, willingly given. And that's not just financially. God wants us to do that with our time and with our prayers. And there's a lot of people lacking that today. They're not cheerful givers with their time. They're lacking. They're not interested in coming to the house of God. That's the truth. But God wants us people that they'll come and they'll be cheerful to come. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Lord wants us to come in cheerful, joyful. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and with praise. It's not the Bible. Amen. So it's not just about the financial end of it. There's a giving of our time. And I thank the Lord for those that do give their time to the Lord, even to come tonight. It's a lovely night. And there's plenty of things people could do. But the Lord bless those that came. Let me read you Ecclesiastes. Now, I'm not going to be long tonight. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14 and 15. I know that whatsoever God doth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doth it that man should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. So there's really no new thing. That's like the restoration, isn't it? It's not a new thing, but it's bringing us back to the original thing. Maybe that's not the way to say it. The original truth. Amen. It's a full restoration. There's nothing new under the sun. Somebody said that your man preached a new message. That's impossible. There's nothing new. Somebody's had it before. Somebody's said it before. Somebody's done it before. Now, God can give you something fresh. I'm not meaning it in that way. But what I'm saying is, God's already done it all and seen it all. It's in his word. But God wants us to come back just to the simple truth. That's a simplicity of the word of God. Amen. An unchanging God with unchanging ways. What he did at the first, he will have to keep on doing until the last time. There will never be a change. Apply that to the church ages. The kind of man that God chose for the first age and how God manifested in that man's ministry would be an example for all other ages. What God did in the first church age is what we want to do. What he wants to do in all other ages. And when you look at the first church age, you know Paul's a messenger of the first church age. We know that by the Bible. And special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. And when you see what Paul did in that age, God wants to do that in every single age. And even in these last days, God's had messengers and prophets and apostles, but God's still moving and the church is still here. So there still has to be a fivefold ministry. There has to be. And God's still working, and we need to keep still believing God. You know what our wonderful God's like? Here God reminds his people what he's like. He tells us what he's like. This is for us as well as Israel. Numbers 9:20. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withholdest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. That's what God gave them. He gave them that. And God's given us good manna. You know, I believe when a brother came and preached, we had good manna. Amen. I believe that. That was good manna. You know, there's one thing about Brian Freeborn, and you'll all have to agree with me tonight. From the first time he came, he hasn't changed with his doctrine. Many people change. Many people, preachers and all, have blown about with every wind and wave and doctrine. Is that the truth? But he's never changed. And the Bible tells us we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Psalms 135, verse 8 to 13. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders in the midst of thee, O Egypt, unto Pharaoh and upon his servants, who smote great nations and slew many kings, Shihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an inheritance, and heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endure forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. The Lord did it before, the Lord can do it again for his people. Amen. Don't ever think God can't do it again. God can do it again. I'm going to read you one more psalm, then we're going to come to a close in a moment. Psalms 136, verse 10 to 26. To him that smote the Egyptian, their firstborn, for his mercy endure forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endure forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endure forever, to him which divided the sea in parts, for his mercy endure forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endure forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endure forever, to him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endure forever, to him which smote great kings, for his mercy endure forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endure forever. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endure forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endure forever, and gave their land for heritage, for his mercy endure forever, even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endure forever, who remembereth us in our low estate, for his mercy endure forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endure forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endure forever. Who give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endure forever. I hope you can hear that when you're sleeping tonight. That's how I know if I've done the right thing or not. If it comes back to you. I worked for a man once in a coal lorry, and he broke his ankle, and then his brother took over the lorry. And his brother wasn't saved, and he smoked cigars. And everybody used to go into the shop to buy him a cigars. And he said to me, run in there and get me a packet of cigars. And I said, no, I won't. I'm not running in to get your cigars. Oh, and he quoted me, C.H. Spurgeon smoked. I says he might have done, but I don't. And I'm not C.H. Spurgeon. And even though C.H. Spurgeon smoked, he was wrong, even though he was C.H. Spurgeon. And that's the truth of it. And you can amen it or go, oh me, but it's the truth anyhow. That's the truth. But I wouldn't win for cigars. Because the Bible says refrain from all appearance evil. And if I'd have went in for his cigars and somebody seen Tommy coming out with a packet of cigars, it said McKinsey's backslidden, he's on the cigars. It's not what they would have said. Sure, you know they would have. And even if they knew it wasn't right, they'd have told it anyhow. That's the way they work. And the retailer brought out a big, twice the packet it did bring out. They'd have blew it up. But what I'm telling you for was, I used to sing in the coal lorry every day. I used to sing. And I kept singing in the coal lorry every day. Somebody touched me. And I know it was the hand of the Lord. And one morning he woke up. And his wife said to him, what's that you're singing about? Somebody touched me. And he was trying to explain to her what I'd been singing in the Lorry, but he kept singing it, and he woke up in the morning singing other things as well. And he got saved there just lately. Now that's years ago when I was on the Lorry with him, but he's got saved. You see, God's word will not return void. I sent a wee policeman a Christmas card from Highbank Jail in 1990. I sent him a Christmas card. I won't name the man's name, but most of you should know him. And you know, I said, you know, I'll never be in here again unless it's for the Lord's work. But I'll never be in here again. But I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. You're going to hell just like I was before I got saved. And you're no better than me. And you might be putting people in jail and keeping the law and all that. And I appreciate that. And I'm guilty for what I've done. But I said, you need to get saved. And I met that policeman just a couple of years ago at a certain place. And he turned around and said to me, he says, Tommy, I've still got the car. And he's got saved as well. He got saved just recently. But that was 1990 when he got the card, and I put scriptures and stuff on. And I can't write, the writing's terrible. But he kept that card for all them years. God's word won't return void. Never say to yourself, well, the Lord never heard me. That's the message Brother Brian preached. That's the boys that sit round the table, and they assign to you demons to tell you God doesn't hear your prayers. That's what they're doing. And God wouldn't hear your prayer because you done this to me wrong and you done something else wrong. But I don't care what you done wrong. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Amen? And we're under the blood. Past, present, and future. Amen? And God bless Spurgeon. I'm not saying bad about Spurgeon, but there's a curse. But I'm just telling you what happened. Isn't God good? You know, Geordie's living beside two fellas, and their father was Ernie Mull. And I went to his house as well in the Cold Lorry, and he got saved. And I tell you, Ernie Mull was a great wee man. And he always talked about me coming around there in that Cold Lorry. And you know, when I come back from a missionary trip, and I was working for Brethren people, then you know who they were. And when I told one of them what's going on further on the trip, they near hit me down the phone. I think if they had got the hands on me, they would have choked me. Because I told them I was going further in the Lord's work. And then when I come home from there and went on a coal lorry, they laughed at me. And they said, that's some call of God he's got. He's on a coal lorry. But people got saved when I was on the coal lorry. Because every opportunity we have is a mission field if we open our mouth wide. No matter whether you're in a bakery, on a coal lorry, on a digger, and if you're a sister washing dishes at the sink, you can open your mouth to the Lord and start praying. Amen? Lift up the prayer. Amen. Let's believe God tonight. Let's come and bow our heads this evening. God bless you tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you that your word will not return void. Lord, I pray you'll help us to open our mouth wide for you. Lord, that you'll speak into the lives of men and women. Lord, you know all those that's near and dear in our hearts tonight. Maybe many times they've heard the gospel. They've heard the truth and done nothing about it. But Lord, we pray for mercy for them. We pray yet again you'll speak to them. Yet again you'll move them. We pray yet again you'll strive with them. We pray yet again you'll remember mercy. Remember mercy, Lord. We ask you'll save them in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you for all of our sons, for all of our daughters. Some of them away from you tonight, away, far away from you. But Lord, we're asking that the blood of Jesus will cover them. That the Holy Spirit will go to where they are. And you'll move them, Lord, and speak to them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for that man that me and the wife saw on a bank today or yesterday. Lord, you know all about him. You know everything about him. Lord, I'm claiming him. I'm asking for the blood of Jesus Christ to come down over him tonight. I'm asking that the angel of the Lord will visit him and speak to them. I'm coming against every demon power that's moving him and driving him. Every evil, foul spirit that's on him, I rebuke it off of him. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight, I plead the power and the life of your blood over him. I pray, God, you'll speak to them. I pray, God, you'll move upon them. Lord, if you could take Nebuchadnezzar and make him eat grass, then you could take him again and make him praise you. You can do it with anybody. We've seen in your word tonight, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do it again, Lord, I pray. Once more, Lord, do it again in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'll speak to your own people tonight. They're dilly-dallying about and twiddling about. I pray you'll speak to them and revive them and renew them and move in them, Lord. Restore the backslidden. Get them a thirst and a hunger for your work and for your word, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, help every one of us. Forgive us all for backsliding and backbiting and tiddling about. Cleanse us with your blood, Lord. Help us to speak that which is pleasing to you, Lord, and help us to live a life that's pleasing and worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, I pray you'll give us a fresh baptism of the fire and the power of God. Lord, we crucify this old flesh afresh to you tonight. And we pray you'll fill us again with the Holy Ghost and power. Move in this meeting and every boy, every girl, every man and every woman, move in every one, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray if there's people at 30, that you'll bring them up to 60, 100. And the people at 60 to 100, every one of us need a touch, Lord. Every one of us, Lord, need a filling of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Lord, we're tired running in the fumes. We want to thankful that we can go forward in the power of God. Lord, we need your help. We need your blessing. We need the Holy Ghost to move. We need the Holy Ghost to fall. We need the Holy Ghost to inspire us. When we lift this book, Lord, that you'll take us over, oh God, like the day of Pentecost, and that your work will be wrought in us in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take authority over foul devils and demon forces tonight in every home and every life. In the name of Jesus Christ, in this building all about it, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Father, cloak us with a cloak of God, with a clothing of God, with the fire of God, with the power of God. And Lord, we know the angels of the Lord encamp in front of them that fear the Lord. Be near those tonight that need you to be near them. I pray especially for the widows in this service this evening. For all these dear sisters, Lord, oh God, comfort them. God, strengthen them. God, bless them. Lord, be with them. Give them grace in the hard times. Give them grace in the tough times. May the Holy Spirit speak to them. May the Holy Spirit brood over them. May the Holy Spirit lead them and guide them and speak encouraging scriptures into their innermost being, that the joy of the Lord will come upon them, that the blessing of the Lord will come upon them. Lord, I speak into situations in this room that need a financial miracle tonight. Oh God, bring it forth, I pray. Loosen the barn doors and let the finest of the wheat come forth in the finance and men and women in this room tonight. Prosper them. Bless them, O God, and meet their every need, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, this world's coming into a crisis, but you're never in a crisis. This world's coming into a turmoil, but you're never in a turmoil. You're the God that knows the end from the beginning. You're the one that made the heavens and made the earth. You're the one that stood up in a boat and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. Lord, we're worshiping you tonight. We're praising you, for you're the Lord of all glory. And we magnify your name tonight. Lord, we want to say thank you, Lord, for great things you've done. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free from the power of sin and death and Satan's destruction. Thank you, Lord, the first time that I called upon your name, that you heard me and you answered me. Thank you, Lord, when the devil tried to sink this ship, that you kept it afloat. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you're keeping mercy for thousands. Lord, we're asking for that mercy to touch the wife tonight, to touch the husband tonight, to touch the son tonight, to touch the daughter tonight, to touch the aunt, the uncle, the brother, the sister. Oh God, move on them, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ this evening. Father, I'm going to be careful to give you all the glory. We're praying again for the prayer request what was up on the wee church app. And for this man, Beattie, oh God, we bring them before you tonight. We're asking for your miracle power. We're asking for your glory to come upon them. that you'll spur them in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, if thou wouldst tarry to this weekend, I pray you'll bless the meetings. I pray the power of God will break loose in this building. I pray we'll have a real Pentecostal jubilee in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, touch wee Laurie tonight. Touch Brother Yule tonight. Touch others that's not here tonight. My Uncle Bobby. Lord, any that need your touch, give them a touch from God tonight, Lord. Father, touch everyone in this room. Touch the sisters at home, the brothers at home, the children at home. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Bless the musicians. Bless, Lord, the Sunday school teacher. Lord, bless everyone in this hall tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Just let's keep seeking the Lord this evening. Praise God.